The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Mike, good afternoon. Man in Line is on. Open line through till one today. Remember, Monday we're talking about housing. And next Wednesday it's all about Manx Care with the Chief Executive. On Monday, Housing and Communities Manager, MHK David Ashford is on. And also the Douglas City Council, Head of Housing as it were, Peter Washington, Councillor Washington will be on. But today it's you. Your view, your story, whatever you want to talk about, it's down to you. Lots of stuff in yesterday about dog fouling. If it's the last time I ever talk about dog fouling, it'll be too soon. However, there's still this big problem. I mentioned it was a topic of conversation when I started doing Man in Line in 1998. And it's still around today. So who knows? When was the last time anybody was prosecuted, even cited, for dog fouling? Says WhatsApper 062. I wonder, there are signs, aren't they? You know, it's against the law to do it, contravenes a bylaw. When a dog is fitted with a chip, a DNA sample should be logged alongside the rest of the information. You can take a sample of the dog muck on the street, cross-reference it with information at the vet surgery. Job done. Science is there. Says Pete, that's the way to do it. And then levy fines, and there you are. An idea? As far as I'm aware, most poo bags are biodegradable now. That's the get-out-of-jail card. We were wondering whether or not it was single-use plastic and all that. However, David joins us first. Hi, David.
Hi, Randy. And it's going to be a full week next week as far as the local authority members are concerned as well. And just to let you know, on Saturday, Rob Collister's having a surgery at the Hub, used to call the Youth Community Centre. So there's an opportunity there for people who just don't want to put something to email or haven't got computers to walk in on Saturday morning and talk to Rob and give him his views on what people think about the 20 mile an hour, how's it gone on. And the major thing really is, if there's no police involvement, what's the point? Anyway, and I want to talk about, if I can, Andy, three topics really is.
Okay.
Tuesday the 24th is when the local authority members are going to meet the MLCs at the Parliament building to talk about the Local Government Act. Hey-ho, another one from the DOI. The law that's passing through that we're all concerned about, and that's every local authority I am aware of anyway, has concerns about this legislation moving forward. And at least we're going to have some star players in there too. I believe Tony Brown's first on at 2:30.
My word.
So that's going to be interesting, isn't it? Former Chief Minister knows the local government inside and out, and he's going to be a great representative too. Because on Thursday night, it's not a public meeting, but the local authorities meet, as we call the Municipal Association. So when you're talking to Mr. Washington on Monday, you can say to him, oh, I believe you're the chairman. What do you think of this Municipal Association? And now you chair, and see what he says to you.
What do you think he'll say?
He'll say it's a great opportunity for local authorities to come up off the pavement, put our heads above the parapet and challenge government all the time now. And government have got to respect us as local authorities and send us information ahead of time instead of consulting when they're halfway down the road. That's my biggest beef. And I'm just an individual, but I see it all the time. There's loads of things that should be done. We've still got motorhomes which are lying all over the place. I went past because somebody said to me, have a look at the one on Lancaster Road now. It's virtually on its knees. And a fellow said to me, and it was quite an interesting thing, people might know actually, it may be taxed because the DOI say, we can't do nothing, Mr. Quirk, because it's taxed, right? And I say, I'm going to say to them now, and I'll do it next week, is, well, are they insured? Which is a point that was brought to me. And I never thought of that. It may be taxed, but is it insured? And that's the issue. And it shouldn't be on the highway if it's not insured, isn't it?
And also, didn't somebody mention, I'm sure in the deep, distant past, somebody said there's got to be a certificate of habitation. It's got to be fit to be lived in. If something is kept on the street, and if it doesn't, then it's breaking some sort of bylaw or law.
Yeah, well, I've tried to research that one. I've asked one of their MHKs to look at it, and I've asked the DOI to look at it as well. I think what we call, and I'm not getting at people who have got perfectly good caravans and motorhomes around the island. They do the decent thing and get them insured, and they have what we call a habitation certificate. Yeah. But I think it only applies in the UK.
Oh, right. As you say, it's worth saying to all the people, the vast majority of mobile home and motor caravan owners, that they must be as sick as we are about talking about this, because they're the responsible ones. It's the irresponsible ones that don't care.
That's right. And the biggest thing, and it's on my little chart now for the future, is to the DOI, they may be taxed, but are they insured? And that's a fair question to ask. That's a fair question to ask the police as well, because at the end of the day, if something's on the highway and it's not insured, it's not covered, is it?
No, that's true, yeah.
So it's a big week next week, and Manx Radio is going to be full of it.
Okay. Well, we're normally full of it as well. So anyway, just to reiterate, Rob Callister, tomorrow then, what time is it, 11 o'clock?
I think it's 11 o'clock at the home, which is called the Youth and Community Centre.
Okay, okay.
Just need to pop in. You don't need to have a big blurb for him. Just say to him, look, Rob, I don't like this. I wasn't consulted. I live in X Street. Why is it done here? Why are they putting 20-mile-an-hour zones in when I live in a road which is like 50, 70 feet?
Okay. All right.
Ridiculous.
Appreciate it. Thanks for
See
that.
You, boy.
Good to hear from you. Now, 13 minutes past 12. And normally, Rob Callister will have the kettle on tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock at the Hub. Also tomorrow, Saturday 21st, there's a political surgery in Willesden at the Main Assembly Hall at Willesden School in School Road. Meet and talk to Douglas North MHK. Both of them, David Ashford and John Wannenberg, will be there. And I believe there'll be a couple of Douglas councillors as well at Willesden School Hall tomorrow. That's at 11:30 through until 1. And Michelle Hayward was on the breakfast show today. The infrastructure minister says 20-mile-per-hour zones in residential areas will be implemented on the Isle of Man, but the question is now where they will be enforced. A consultation is underway regarding the proposed zones. It's on until next month. Michelle Hayward will be available to discuss the rollout of the scheme today. If you have some time, you can turn up in shorts, it's fine, 1 till 4 today at the Sea Terminal in Douglas. And this is what she had to say on the breakfast show today.
Do I think that we've ridden roughshod over people? No, I think we're in the part of a process. Tim Ward agreed that we were going to have 20 miles an hour in residential streets, and it didn't specify what those are. So the department's come up with a set of criteria that does set out what we think residential streets are. We publish the maps in March, and that's our recommendations as to where we think those zones should go. And this is the consultation, and this is the chance to talk about the detailed bits and get local knowledge about how you understand a road to be used, what you understand the pedestrian traffic around that area is like, and to actually contribute and say, well, actually, yes, this road I agree with, but perhaps this road I don't, and give us the reasons for why.
So do you think good and effective communication and PR on this issue has been really lacking from your department?
I think what my department did was follow the statutory process, publish a traffic order, give everyone 2 weeks to email in. I think what was missed on this was not your standard traffic order. This is a significant change for a lot of people.
So in this instance, and was that good enough?
No, and I've apologised to the House of Keys and said it wasn't good enough, and we're reviewing how those processes go, because we know that there are times when things happen by routine that actually entirely legally, but it's not appropriate, and perhaps officers didn't recognise some of the political and social noise that there would be around this, and that people would want to have an input. So the process we've now got, which is a consultation process that runs right to the end of the year, will roll around the whole island having those discussions with every community, and it's going to be one of the biggest engagement and consultation pieces that government's ever done.
When are we likely to see changes starting to happen?
So the consultation for Douglas and Onchan finishes on the 4th of July. My anticipation is that then for the rest of that month that we'll be analysing that consultation, we'll be looking to see what comments have been made about roads and where it's going to be. And then I anticipate that we'll be able to issue traffic orders at the end of July, if not early into August.
There you are. That's it. It's going to happen. 20-mile-per-hour zones in residential areas will be implemented on the Isle of Man. The question is now where they will be enforced. You have until the 4th of July. And, of course, if you want to have a chat to Michelle Haywood today, she'll be at the sea terminal between 1 and 4. And Julian's on now. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andrew. How are you doing?
Very well, thanks.
I'm hearing rumours. It could be dispelled, that there are some live sat-nav maps that are already indicating roads on the island have already been altered to 20 miles per hour, despite the 30 mile per hour road signs remaining. If there's anybody about...
Yeah, that was on social media at the weekend. I saw some people saying that their upmarket BMWs were being triggered to say this is a 20 mile per hour zone. Now, I don't know whether it's a duff computer on these expensive cars or whether there's something else that, as you say, maybe have already been enacted.
Well, if anybody's got an Android head unit in the car, maybe try Google Maps and see if that correlates with it. Following on from yesterday, would you agree, Andy, that the 20-mile-per-hour zone rollout is primarily being installed for road safety, fulfilling and Corlett's vision for Ballacameen High School and some housing estates?
Well, that was what it was originally for. It was Ann Corlett's 20 is Plenty campaign.
Well, there's a member of Tynwald who thinks that environmental concerns are the primary issue, not road safety. And that member is the DOI Minister, Michelle Haywood. If anyone goes on the Tynwald website into the Listen Again section, type in speed limit into the search filter and click on question 9, which was the proposed Douglas 20 mile per hour speed limit order. The DOI minister is asked about 20-mile-per-hour zone safety. Michelle Haywood replied, and I quote verbatim, "I'd like to reinforce that this is not being carried out primarily as a road safety measure. This is about improving the environment in residential areas and quality of life. The road safety aspect is incidental to these primary aims." So the DOI minister said the road safety aspect is incidental to these primary aims.
I just wonder what she meant by environmental. And she said, what was the other phrase that she used?
Quality of life.
Quality of life. That may be, and I don't want to speak for her, but I'm assuming she means that having people whizzing around doing more than 30 miles per hour diminishes people's quality of life. And certainly, if you're walking a dog or you've got cats or you've got young children, the fact that somebody, and people do go over 30 miles per hour in residential areas. I'm assuming that if you know that nobody can go more than 20, that will, if you like, placate any anxiety that you have and thus improve your quality of life.
Well, I've got some information on Brussels in terms of their 20-mile-an-hour zone, but just to go back a bit, in October 2020, I mentioned yesterday that Bill Shimmons invoked the United Nations Stockholm Declaration and then the United Nations other arm, the World Health Organization, and yesterday the Isle of Man Climate Change Transformation Programme's annual progress report was published. And if anyone looks on page 18, the heading is Alignment to United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. So if you've got the DOI minister saying that safety is incidental to the environment, and then you've got the Climate Change Transformation Programme's annual report talking about alignment with the UN, it just makes me wonder. You know, we've got numerous studies that indicate that 20-mile-an-hour zones will not only make pollution worse, but it won't mitigate safety concerns. For example, did you know that since Brussels rolled out its 20-mile-an-hour zones in 2021, The European traffic jam ranking for Brussels has slipped from seventh worst city in Europe to fifth worst. And interestingly, and horribly, Brussels in the 20-mile-an-hour zones has resulted in a 60% increase in pedestrian fatalities in the 2023 to 2024 year. And another one from Wales. Speeding fines increased by a whopping 50%. And somebody said that it was a nice earner for a cash-strapped government and, at the same time, compliance with United Nations instructions as well.
Well, it's fair to say that, as you say, you kill two birds with one stone, if you'd pardon the analogy, in that there will be, if this is ever policed and if this is ever enforced, then there's a likelihood that there'll be several thousand pounds a week that will be going into somebody's coffers. And of course, the government is never going to turn down any money if it's coming in the form of fines. So, and as you say, they can turn around and say this is in the good of safety or quality of life or environment, whatever it is, but it will be an earner for them. So you could forgive them looking the other way where this is concerned. And by the way, have you ever driven in Brussels?
I have, actually, along and quite a few places. Ghent was nice too, Bruges.
When I last drove in Brussels, it's shocking. I mean, if you ever go there, every other car, in fact, most cars have got a dent in them in Brussels.
Yeah, yeah. Well, interesting you say that. I notice in Flanders, from De Lin, which is the line, the statistics from the public transport, bus fatalities, there were several, but there were 1,179 injuries last year. If you take that into account, the trams, 1,147 the previous year, injuries from trams and buses. So there's a heck of a lot of pedestrian interactions. Mm. And they're saying in Brussels that the pedestrian share of accidents has shot up. That's the 60%. It was 340% in 2022, the year after the rollout. But they said, interestingly, that they don't hold figures for interactions in collisions between cyclists and pedestrians, which I find amazing in the Netherlands, considering how they push cycling all the time. But they don't actually collect that data, which I find interesting.
Well, we'll wait and we'll see. But Michelle Haywood says it's going to happen. I mean, it's just a matter of when, and it's just a matter of how it's going to be policed. But just coming back to what the opinions that have been voiced previously, if you've got a law that can't be policed and therefore is not going to be punished, then why have it?
Well, Michelle Haywood also says that the road safety aspect is incidental. And while we speak, Port St. Mary High Street is so potholed, you could barely walk on it without breaking your ankle.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting that it seems that the priority was environment. So, yes, the safety aspect is incidental to the primary aims of environment. So, I don't know. United Nations seems to be... Perhaps the United Nations advisor, Maud Blessing-Peduru, could come on and clarify, because she probably is the most qualified person on the island to talk about all this.
Okay.
See if there is some sort of instruction.
All right.
Anyway, thanks, Andy.
I appreciate it. Thank you for calling. Have a good weekend. Julian, 24 minutes past 12. Note in from Ben, who said, we don't need a 20-mile-per-hour limit on the promenade. We've got the horse trams. They slow everything down. It's a thought, but of course not in the winter. Just like cars, vans and motorcycles, campers have to have insurance certificates to get taxed. Lots of people pointed this out. John B., you can't tax a vehicle without producing a valid insurance certificate. Point taken. However, the period of the insurance may straddle the limit for the tax, i.e. you could tax a vehicle today, it being the 20th of June, and your insurance could run out at the end of June. Consequently, the vehicle would be taxed, but not insured. Get it? Following up on what David was saying about motorhomes, whether they're insured or not, or have road tax, if they're not roadworthy, they shouldn't be on public roads. And I just wonder whether not roadworthy means having a flat tyre for 6 months, because some of them do. A message also that just said a point keeps getting missed with some of those motorhomes and vans that are left on public roads is, are they roadworthy? There's one on the main road in Foxdale that may well be taxed and insured, but the tyres are flat and the tyres are perished. Now, Tony C says, that's an offence. The sills are rusted through. That's an offence. And I'd be willing to bet that the brakes will be defective, and that's another offence. I could go on. So who is policing this if there's a vehicle on the public roads that is palpably unroadworthy? Surely something should be done about it. It'd be quicker to travel on the horse tram, says Bill, than drive through the prompt at 20 miles per hour due to all the tailback. Ah, you see, the horse trams are doing it free of charge for us. Mary and Ramsey talking about car computers showing the allowed speed. My humble Suzuki got to Parliament Street traffic lights and it registered the speed limit as 110 miles an hour. Or perhaps kilometres per hour. Also, leaving the roundabout at Andrus past the village hall, just where the signs warning of horses on the road, it registers speed as 100 miles an hour. It's a bit strange. You can say that again, Mary. And thanks for reporting that. Suzuki, eh? Brian, on your news today, it said that the gas prices are increasing again. We've always been told that the government buys gas in advance at a set price. As Manx Gas buys its gas from the government, I'd like to know what's the reason for the increase. That is the news, yes, that gas prices are in fact going up. Not much, but they are going up fairly shortly, so that's something that's going to have to be stomached. 5.3% from the 1st of July, i.e. the end of this month. The increase has been announced by the Communications and Utilities Regulatory Authority, CURA. Following a review of the Isle of Man's gas tariffs, it means that the domestic heating tariff will rise from 9.6p to 10.29p per unit. The next tariff review will be December. Good-o. And Brian joins us now on Man in Line. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Andy. I heard the start of the programme today, which is unusual, and I was a little bit puzzled, to be honest with you, because David came on and he was talking again about caravans and vehicles parked on the road. Now, remind me again, I got Rob Collister and Julie Edge to call up and have a look at my proposed site. And there was somebody else I got up there, one of the Manx radio presenters. It was you. Do you recall coming to have a look at that?
I do. Was that the one near the pig farm?
That's the one near the pig.
Right.
You've got it right. Now, when David, right, this is David that was at the meeting and then reported me for operating a caravan site without planning permission the following day, and we hadn't even started, it hadn't even been suggested, so David nailed the lid on that one. Why is it you didn't ask him? David, you speak with forked tongue here.
How far did your idea for a caravan park go then, Brian?
Okay, I pursued it with Derek Crellin. He put it to the commissioners, the two local MHKs, the clerk to the authority and yourself, came, and not trying to put words in your mouth, but you thought it was quite a reasonable site, did you not?
There's a lot of it, put it that way.
And was it overlooked by anybody?
Couldn't see that. No, it didn't appear to be.
And would it have caused any disruption anywhere?
Not that I could see. I mean, obviously the road going to your place is not what you call wide. It's a single-track road that goes to your place, isn't it?
I disagree. No, it's a dual carriageway. Well, not dual carriageway, but there's cars pass on it.
Okay, all right.
And we don't have any problem getting horse boxes and heavy vehicles in and out of the farm,
okay.
Albeit that it isn't the widest road in the world. But if you're parking your caravan somewhere off the road, out of the way, you don't want it where it can be meddled with or interfered with or whatever. You don't want it somewhere where it's going to be overseen by everybody. In fact, as places go in Onchan, they're pretty rare.
And
I've got one. But I've taken it off the table because I'm not going through the bloody process of arguing with the likes of David Quirk, who's on here speaking one way and then the other. A man speaks with forked tongue. If he wants, genuinely wants an alternative site, then try and sort one out. Don't talk about it and then object to it blindly, because the only way he could have known what was on the site is if he was standing with a pair of binoculars trying to view it from almost half a mile away.
So are you, I mean, is this idea, as far as you're concerned, completely finished? Because if you've got an idea, surely, and as you say, the place is big enough, certainly big enough. It's the other side of the liveries, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
So
it is.
You're not going to have another bash at this, or do you think you might?
Look, if I'm going to have to argue with people and I'm going to have idiots coming on, I think, well, do I need the aggravation? And the answer to that is no. You know, I'm in my mid-70s now. My son's taking over the farm, and I can't tell you what his response was. Yes. Let them find somewhere else to resolve this issue. But don't try to convince people you're trying to help them when you're not. That's what galls me about it. The man speaks with forked tongue.
Okay. Well, I don't want to speak on his behalf, but he's talking about stuff that's parked on, or if you like, old knackered ones that are parked on public roads at the moment, not current ones, not usable ones.
Well, how about you having a look at the minutes of the meeting when he met with the minister to discuss this? He was trying to get parking restrictions put on, limiting the parking time, I think, to 16 or 18 hours in a 24-hour period, and the minister has rejected that out of hand. So her recommendation was that they look for somebody in the Onchan district, handy for the village, that's got somewhere where they could offer parking. Well, they had that and threw it away. Do I sound bitter?
You're a very young 70-plus, Brian, I can say that.
Well, thank you very much for that. But, you know, the 20-mile-an-hour limits, I'm listening to the 20-mile-an-hour limits. The implications are so far-reaching. Every man, woman and child that has a person come to repair their washing machine is going to have to pay more for the travelling time. The buses are going to have to be increased. The bus drivers will have to be increased. I'm on one of the roads that's going to have a 20-mile-an-hour limit put on it. The only way you could get up to 20-mile-an-hour on this road is if you had a rocket behind you. I don't see that it's an issue here. And as for it being a means to improve the lives of the people, it's going to give people heart attacks trying to get through the mess. I mean, what's the point of a 20-mile-an-hour limit from Port Jack down to the Termy Tavern pub? Do you know? That road has no houses on it. It's got an adequate footpath. It's plenty wide enough. Hey, anywhere else, it would be a 40 limit. The mind boggles.
All right.
And if you push any vehicle outside of its efficiency zone, you're going to cause pollution, not reduce it.
Well, that's another point as well. For lots of diesel cars, this is going to be no use to their filter whatsoever.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, Brian. All right. Thanks for calling.
Okay.
Have a good weekend.
And you. Bye.
25-1 on Man in Line today. And Ken's with us now. Hi, Ken.
Afternoon to you. I'm not an expert on motorhomes, but there is a weight restriction, 3,050 kilos, unladen weight. At night time, you cannot park on a public road after, I think it's 6 o'clock at night till 7 in the morning. And you're not allowed to park at that's Monday to Friday. Weekends, you're not allowed to park at all. Now, the trouble is, perhaps the police don't realise what the weight of a motorhome is, and I've no idea either. Some of the bigger ones are obviously over that weight limit, 3,050, but I don't think anybody has ever got a ticket, to my knowledge, because it had been on the news, wouldn't it? It had been the press.
So 3,050 kilograms.
Unladen weight.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, for a policeman, you'll have to be, or a traffic controller, is that the right word these days? You'll have to have a manual where you can look up how much things weigh.
Well, that's easy enough. Yeah, you just punch it into the internet. That'll tell you straight away how much.
I don't know whether the road tax. Can you tell by how much you're paying a road tax disc?
I don't know, but presumably any motorhome people will be able to tell us, but that's worth thinking about. Yeah. So nothing over 3,050 kilograms unladen can park after 6 o'clock at night or at weekends.
Yeah. Or weekends entirely, 24 hours.
Okay. All right, Ken. Good to hear.
Can we just talk about buying all... How much is it going to cost us for the consultation where they've already made their mind up yet again?
Well, nobody knows, but it will cost. Nothing's free, is it?
No, because again, somebody's going to ask, is it Mr. Hooper's asking about the rates? How much does it cost to hire a plane or a drone to measure everybody's house for the ill-fated rates consultation a few years ago? It's maddening. You have the consultation and they've made their minds up already.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, have a good weekend, Ken. Thanks for calling.
Cheers.
Cheers now. 23 minutes before one.
Order! Order! In this case for Manx Car Store, let's review the facts. Firstly, you handpick an excellent range of quality cars for all budgets, are a trusted car sourcing specialist, you knowingly open 7 days a week, and are subject to an excessive number of five-star web reviews. How do you plead?
Guilty.
Very well. This court hereby declares Manx Car Store five-star.
Don't take their word for it. Find out for yourself. Visit manxcarstore.com or find them on Facebook.
Enjoy uncompromised relaxation at great prices in Millichap's Stressless Studio Clearance Event. Come and see the clearance prices for yourself and find out which of Stressless's range of recliner chairs is right for you. The Stressless Studio Clearance Event, now on downstairs at Millichap's of Ramsey.
Looking to make the most of your savings? Cornerstone Bank offer a range of savings options, from fixed terms of 6 months to 3 years, to variable rate notice accounts with notice periods of 95 to 180 days. And choose monthly or annual interest, whatever works for you. For the latest rates and an application form, check out cornerstonebank.co.im. Cornerstone Bank, celebrating 90 years of community, heritage and connection. Here for the journey. All deposits are subject to status, terms and conditions apply. No early withdrawals permitted. Qualifying deposits made with Cornerstone Bank are covered by the Isle of Man Depositors Compensation Scheme as set out in the Depositors Compensation Scheme Regulations 2010.
Discover a fabulous range of watches, gifts and jewellery at Ramsey Art Gallery. With top brand watches from Bulova, Citizen Eco Drive and Storm to Acuras, Seconda and Timex. Plus, all watch purchases come with free lifetime watch bracelet adjustment service. There's stunning gold and silver jewellery, gifts for all occasions, and of course a fabulous gallery of limited edition prints and original artworks. Find all this and more at Ramsey Art Gallery Jewellers and Engravers, opposite Ramsey RNLI shop.
On first glance, Dune Tynwald's order paper looked to offer little opportunity for political excitement. As it turned out, there was plenty to exercise our MHKs increasingly mindful of the 2026 general election. There were questions about the quality of childcare and protection. Was political messaging around the TT adequate? Should we consider whether things are ethical okay and not just legally sound? Securing funding for the family library was discussed, as was the law governing employment of children. All this will be summarised in perspective this Sunday at 12 on Manx Radio with me, Phil Gorn. And why does LegCo keep giving the Education Minister a hard time? Perhaps Kate would win them over.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
20 to 1, Andrew's with us now. Hello, Andrew.
Hi there, Andy. Please, I just had an opportunity to read a Tynwald motion, amendment that Rob Corster had put forward in the last sitting of Tynwald, I think it was, regarding the 20 mile per hour project implementation plan. When the motion had been made by Dr. Hayward that Tynwald receives and approves the 20 miles per hour project implementation plan And Rob put forward an amendment which then wasn't carried. And I'm just reading what his amendment actually said. And I get to item number 3, and it says, no new 20 miles per hour zones should be introduced in Douglas, Onken, Mackled, Ramsey, Andreas, Kirkmichael, Peel, Laxey, St John's, Foxdale, Castletown, Ballasalla, Port Erin or Colby, unless, and then there's A, B, C, D items, and one of which is doing drop-in sessions, so at least they're taking note of that, I suppose. But one of the things, and there's a 6-week public consultation, but one of the other items here is bus timetables in the scheme zone have been fully reviewed, taking into account journey times in the mornings and evenings, and a report on this review has been published. So Comyn didn't accept this amendment from Rob, but the question is, I mean, it's very valid, this. Is the, I don't know what the, is it a bus director, fat controller, whatever the job designation is down there at the bus station, is there somebody who's actively undertaking now a review into what this could mean for journey times if all these areas have 20 miles, or are they just going to, are they not doing anything? They're going to wait to the consultation and find out actually which ones definitely will be 20 and which ones might still be 30, and are they going to do something and publish a review before they enact these 20 mile per hour zones? Because I mean, what's the travelling public on the bus? I mean, you need to know.
Yeah.
I've got a work colleague here who travels in from Port Erin every morning, and his bus allows him to walk into the office at 10 to 9. But if there's 20 miles per hour and the bus journey takes longer, then feasibly he's not going to arrive here at 9 o'clock and he's going to be late for work. So what's he supposed to do? Get a bus that's 10 minutes? I don't know how frequent they are from Port Erin. He's got to get a 20 minutes earlier bus.
Well, obviously they don't appear to have worked it out yet, Andrew.
Well, surely, please, can you possibly invite the bus director onto the programme and get his opinion?
Okay, right. I've written.
Or is he going to hide behind? Or is he going to hide behind some confidentiality clause that he's not allowed to speak to the press because Dr. Hayward's gagged him?
Well,
sorry, I don't want to put that picture in people's minds.
No, we'll find out. Anyway, it used to be Mr. Longworth. It was Ian Longworth before. I don't know who
the
current...
I don't know who it is now either. I can't remember.
No. Okay. But no, well, the point is taken. If they've not worked it out yet for the buses, and certainly I would have thought, will the buses have regulators on them? Because otherwise the bus driver's going to be glancing down at the speed all the time. So that
Well, do they not have now the system whereby if the bus is stopped for a period, the engine actually automatically switches off?
No, I don't know.
And then it restarts when you start to press the accelerator or whatever they do.
Right.
Isn't that a system to save buses idling and throwing out CO2, diesel fumes?
Well, we'll find out. Okay. All right. Appreciate that.
Very good. Thanks, then.
Good
Cheers
to
now.
Hear from you. Thanks Bye. For that. And Howard joins us now. Hi, Howard.
Hello, Andy. Just the debate continues. That the chap has just been on. Yes, I think modern buses, modern vehicles, will have what they call an idler cutout. And it's after a short period of time where it's been sitting there, it will cut out. It's designed primarily for what he's just said, to stop emitting fumes, etc. I noticed there's a plaque on the school up here, Danica, switch up, don't let your car idle outside. But what it's coming on for was, for all the talk and the bits and pieces, we've got a lot of people that's going around, care workers, practice nurses, even GPs going around, not on emergency work, obviously, but They're going to have extra staff and extra vehicles to cover the same amount of work that's done by the people. Because let's say over a 2-hour period, you're going to be doing 20 miles less, and that's a number of calls. So those calls have got to be covered, and covered by somebody, or reduce the number of calls that are done. So it could deplete part of the nursing structure, and people going around who have to have care coming in are going to suffer. And this is one of the things, it's gone over the head of these people. Plus, I don't know, it's a while, long while since I've used a taxi, but do they still have, they used to have at one time, if you had a long journey, they could charge by the hour or by the time.
Yeah.
And, of course, a lot of people come in from the south of the island, Peel, Laxey, Ramsey, on a weekend, and then have a few beers and go home in a taxi. And it's already expensive, but it's more expensive if you lose your license. So they're being sensible about it, but they're being penalised now because that taxi will have to go, say, from Douglas, from a pub in Douglas, to Ramsey. If it was £40 before, it's going to be £50 now, because it's going to take that taxi longer to get there, and it's going to take him longer to come back. So he's going to have to adjust his prices accordingly, or the traffic people are going to, which they did or tried recently. So all these things all have a monetary fallback, and it's going to cost the public a lot more money in every aspect, in time, and as that chap's just said, coming in, the bus timetables are at a certain time, and people time their journeys to come in by bus, which the government are actively encouraging. And if the buses are only allowed to do 20 miles an hour, through all the villages, I'm not saying an open road, through the villages, and a lot of them go through all the, a lot of villages here on the island, they're going to have to be reduced to 20 miles an hour, which is going to extend, and I would say in most instances, by at least 20 minutes. So that is going to be either get, half an hour earlier, or they're going to have flexi time at work, which I don't think is a good idea. So who, there's nobody, and you've asked, and a lot of people have asked, there's nobody came, no brave soul from government come forward and said, we decided to do this. Let's have a name. Let's have a proper name. And where's our chief minister and saying, this is the man, he put his name to it, or this woman, whatever it was, because it's been on the cards for a long time, and it's an ill-thought-out arrangement.
Well, we'll see. We don't know what's going to happen, and we'll only ever know what's going to happen once it's actually in force, and then we'll then have to pick up the strands. I mean, it may be that it's a fuss about nothing, but it may not be a fuss about nothing.
I doubt it. They're putting a restriction on. My memory serves me correct. I went down to Jersey years ago, and they had a 30-mile-an-hour limit all over the island. But that is considerably smaller and much more residential.
Oh, crikey. You can't get out of second gear in Jersey.
No, I know. It's you're travelling around there. But again, as I say, it's a lot smaller. 20 minutes in any direction, and your feet are getting wet again. But here on the island, it's going to be a crippler, and it's going to cost an awful lot of money. And as the other chap said, it's not going to do the particulate filters in diesels, and they're already having serious trouble with them, any good.
Okay.
Plus, you've got to get your, what do they call these things, ceramic exhausts. Yeah. They've got to be brought up to temperature to work. And
the catalytic converters.
That's it, catalytic converters. If they haven't been stolen, they've got to be hot to work. And you're not going to get them up to temperature if you're only doing 20 miles an hour.
Okay, all right. Howard, we appreciate it. Are you at the Camera Obscura this Sunday?
Yeah, I'm on Sunday morning.
Okay.
All being well, if the weather's good, let's see everybody up there.
All right. Cheers now. Have a good
20
weekend.
20 miles an hour going up that way, by the way.
I don't know it is. And down as well. Thanks for calling today. And Nick joins us on Man in Line. Hi, Nick.
Hiya, can you hear me all right?
Loud and clear.
Perfect. Okay, I just wanted to call to kind of enlighten some of those people that know not of what they speak when it comes to caravans and campers. Like, for instance, The campers, a lot of the campers are 3.5 metric tons. That's 3,500 kilograms, not 3,050. Those are Class B, B for Bravo. My camper is 3.5 tons. My van, which is a Vivaro, is also rated at 3.5 tons, which is a lot shorter than the camper we have. So you can have a van, a works van, which is still within that 3.5 ton limit, parking anywhere as long as it wants, as long as you want, as long as it's taxed and it's insured. Second of all, it's a real shame that Brian didn't get his caravan site or camper site done, because there are more and more and more campers on the island, and people are investing their money in these so that they can, like myself and my partner, so we can get away for a bit. And one other thing, this David mentioned weeks ago that he threw this like generalization that all the campers throw bleach down their drains, which they don't. We're a very eco-friendly group of people. It would be stupid of us to put harsh chemicals down the drains of our huge investments that we've made, because you don't want plumbing to go bad. You know, it's just not something anybody does. I mean, I can pretty much vouch for most people who have campers.
Yeah.
So David doesn't know. I think he's just grasping at something to be cross about campers. So
Think, Nick, if somebody created a caravan park for people to park motorhomes, do you think that would work on the island?
If it's affordable, yes. I mean, the one in Port Erin, I have never been to, but I live up north. It's kind of it's a journey. I mean, yeah, not anywhere. Anywhere going south is a journey, but it's not, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But we use Moora Park. We used to go to the Claddocks until that was shut down. And we go to any place that we can that we are allowed to stay 16 hours or more, within 16 hours. And that works well for us, because we'll stay, like, we'll go to Douglas, have a night out, go to bingo or whatever, and then stay in the camper, and then drive off in the morning. And it's we spend money in Douglas, you know. It's okay. A good day, good evening out.
Okay.
So, you know, we're not bad. We do follow the rules. We do make intentional purchases of our vehicles, knowing what the weight is, knowing what the limits are, and you know, we're not going to trash them.
Okay. No, we appreciate it. And Nick, I'm happy to put all that on the record. Thanks for calling today.
Okay. Thank you very much, Andy. See you. Bye.
It's time to salute our armed forces and service families and have fun too. Saturday the 28th of June is Armed Forces Day at the Villa Marina Gardens, with fairground rides, veterans charity stalls, military stands and more between 1 and 5, and free afternoon tea for all from 4. Armed Forces Day, Saturday, June 28th. Open to all and entries free. Show your support for our forces, past and present.
Hi, Liz. I see you've had your garage converted.
We're desperate for more room.
Yes. Come through and have a look. John called Manx Property Conversions. We now have an extra bedroom, but it could be another reception room, kids' playroom or office. They also did our conservatory roof last year. We were so impressed, we got them back to convert the garage.
Wow, I need that. What's their number again?
Call MPC on 450500. That's 450500. Or find them on Facebook at Manx Property Conversions.
Do you want to have your voice heard? The Isle of Man government wants to connect with you. Join the Chief Minister and the Council of Ministers at a roadshow event near you. Monday the 30th of June at Ramsey Grammar School. Tuesday 1st of July at Ballacameen High School, Douglas. Wednesday the 2nd at Castle Rushen High School. And Thursday the 3rd at Queen Elizabeth II High School, Peel. All events are from 5:30 until 8. And doors open at 5:15. You'll have the chance to meet ministers one-on-one, share your thoughts on national matters and take part in a Q&A session. We're listening to you. Register your free attendance at islandplan.im/roadshows.
Hi, this is Chris Pearson. Join me and Christy De Haven chatting with Sir Barry Gibb about the Bee Gees and growing up on the Isle of Man.
I used to play in the pits during the TT races.
Here's Sir Barry's memories of growing up here.
So I ran up the street at Williston and the squib went right up my shorts.
I'm going to mention two words, and I just want to get your reaction. Kenny Everett.
Oh, Kenny, jeez. I love Kenny Everett.
And maybe you can help Sir Barry solve a 60-year-old Manx mystery.
We were standing at the side of the river in Spring Valley. This box came floating down the river, and inside the box was a baby crying. So we picked the box out of the river.
Sir Barry Gibb talking all things Bee Gees and Isle of Man.
And didn't matter where we go in the world, I am Manx man, and that's the end of it.
Brought to you by Manx National Heritage.
Hi, this is Barry Gibb. Join me on Manx Radio with Christy DeHaven and Chris Pearson.
Timwald Holiday Monday from 6 and available afterwards as a podcast at manxradio.com.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
It's fascinating. The Gibb brothers one day found a baby in a box floating down the river. It'd be great if we could find who that child is. I know I keep going on about this, but the Douglas raft, where is it? Peel, Ramsey, Laxey, Port Erin all got their rafts out in the bay. Douglas, at the moment, has nothing. And Big John in Ramsey said, regarding this Ramsey dog fouling warden that's going to be there, I hope Ramsey commissioners are listening to Man in Line to confront a dog walker and ask him or her to pick up his instigating confrontation and possibly turn bad. Ramsey commissioners just need to increase the dog warden's hours, especially on Ramsey Beach, South Beach, in front of the lifeboat station, as dogs are fouling there all the time and the dog warden's never there. John also says 20 miles per hour is environmentally friendly. Wind farms are environmentally friendly. Both are being slated by anti-environment people who only have a mindset for this generation, not taking into consideration the next one. So that's it. Thanks to Chris on the phones today. Monday, it's housing. David Ashford, MHK, Chair of the Government's Housing and Committees Board, and Councillor Peter Washington from Douglas City Council. The answer phone's on 682-631. Have a great weekend.
WINT